Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing okay today. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good today. Thanks for asking. And I want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will be talking about equal rights in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King, who said, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Relativity: for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Karma: what we put out is what we get back." We will talk about imbalances and how they exist on one level of reality, and that on a spirit level, we are all equal. Swami explains why, for those truly spiritual, nothing else matters. Listen as Swami explains how union with the divine will empower an individual to rise above the cycle of death and rebirth, experience genuine freedom. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul to experience the benefits of prana power. So Swami, here in New Hampshire, we have a Civil Rights Day on the third Monday in January, along with the state of Arizona, and that honors civil rights activists such as Martin Luther King Jr. And according to Wikipedia, I have that civil and political rights are a class of rights that protects individuals' freedom from infringement by governments, social organizations, and private individuals. Now, I know we want to talk more in depth about laws and how they relate to a Kriya Yoga style, so let's get started with that. So what can you tell us about civil rights?
Well, again, like you were saying, I mean, these are laws or regulations that we set up, and they are man-made, human-made laws. Take us beyond instinct, appetite, preservation, and survival, and bring us more into the realms of being intelligent and more of human in quality than animal instinct. So civil rights are rights and privileges that are granted and regulated by the government or an organization, are above and beyond essential needs. But the thing I really try and get more tuned into is the whole thing of rising above material laws and really trying to get a better sense of understanding ourselves spiritually, that this whole thing of divine law trumps the laws of any government.
Now, well, you mentioned material laws. You're referring to our governmental laws and state laws and town laws, things of that nature, right?
Yeah. And of course, you know, like you were saying, I mean, there are civil laws, and then what makes them equal rights is how we decide that we're going to dispense that. And so if we decide that it's going to be the same for everybody, then they would be considered to be equal rights. But if you had specifications and you made allowances for certain groups and not for other groups, then they would be unequal by nature. But the whole key here is that we need laws to uphold the conduct that we as human beings would do naturally if we were humans in the adult state. And so trying to get a little bit away from the concept of laws to begin with, because look at what we're doing collectively. We make laws against drugs. We make laws against violence. We make laws. And then we create wars against all of these different behaviors that we're trying to regulate. And we're kind of hacking at the branches of our problems. Whereas if we understood ourselves spiritually and we had a better understanding of the role of spirit in human development and how we can call upon that and use it as not only a means for our own personal freedoms, but also as a very reliable source of sustenance.
Well, interesting that you talking about that, when you were saying about the material laws and equal rights, and I was just thinking that when we're talking about divine laws, there should be no question that it's equal, because the divine should be for everybody, regardless of who you are and where you are.
Right. There is no discrimination, and that's, I think, the beauty of it, that the oneness and the allness of divine being, and what that means for the human, because the human is inseparable from divine creative intelligence of the universe. Only by a more correct and profound spiritual understanding of divine law can we enlarge and substantiate our own individuality. It is eternal, spiritual, loving, infinite, and good. The human is the conscious expression of divine principle in the fullness of eternal, spiritual, loving, and infinite ideas. These ideas are your divine inheritance as a human in the divine image. They mean life, freedom, bounty, beauty, satisfaction, dominion, infinite blessings for all of us, instead of the choice that we're making here with our material beliefs that leads to slavery, lack, fear, disease, and death. So we do not deprive anyone when we are enjoying the bliss of spirituality.
Wow, that was loaded with all kinds of really great information. I love what you said, that the human is the conscious expression of divine principle. Could you break that down for us a little bit? What does that actually mean for us?
Yeah, the whole thing that the human is made in the image and likeness of the divine. And I really kind of like the way that they explain that in the Isha Upanishad, that is perfect, this is perfect. Out of that perfection emanates this perfection. From the ocean of perfection surges the waves of perfection. Perfection is never lost. So this whole thing that we are sustained and connected directly to this life force, and we can never lose our connection to it. But in order for us to ignite that relationship, we must have attention for it. We have to have our attention pointed on this aspect of ourselves. Otherwise, our minds will be kind of preoccupied with sensual awareness.
So are you saying that at all times we should be seeking God at all times throughout the day?
Absolutely. And the thing about it is that we're never separate from that. But most of us were preoccupied looking for other things, and so we're not satisfied with that relationship. But I really think that the statement, all men are created equal, can be easily proven wrong the minute you assign a material task to the test to test that. But on a different level, the testimony of the physical senses appears less real when thought, freed from its material moorings, is lifted toward the divine creative intelligence of the universe. And of course, this divine creative intelligence of the universe has always been represented by the term God. Only we've become so, I want to say, socialized and phobic of the use of the word that we've taken it out of the equation. But without it, we really don't develop psychologically, spiritually, and also physically. I mean, your relationship with divine becomes very reliable, affordable, dependable health insurance.
Well, I like what you had said before. You used the phrase divine inheritance. And so what made me think about divine inheritance is that inheritance is something that you automatically would receive, I would think. And I think a lot of people out there don't believe that they have this divine inheritance. So how can somebody who's maybe a non-believer, how can they be put on the right path to understand that they're due this divine inheritance?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting topic because this whole concept of the term was called sons of men and sons of God. That, you know, our first birth, we come in and we are considered sons of men. But then we have this, what was termed the original sin. Again, sin is an archery term, meaning missing the mark. We come in and we draw from things visible and tangible. The role of religions in their original format was to educate people in how to separate from our attachment to things visible and intangible, and to join with this resource that was invisible and intangible, but much, much more trustworthy, and had a much better return for us, because now we're drawing from truth and wholeness. And it ignites this progressive cycle. And then we become sons of God. And in the framework of that relationship, everything changes.
So it certainly sounds like that's another practice and procedure that we have to be taught how to do.
We had to be taught how to separate from this original source of sustenance and then join with another one. And that's, like I said, that used to be the role of religion, but the institutions that have taken over our religions have failed so bad that we have taken that out of the plan. So now our religions are really empty forms, and we're substituting this intellectual devotional mirage for true spiritual reality today.
Well, you know that saying, you know, that all men are created equal. I'm wondering if you can give us your take on that, enlighten us on what you think that means.
Well, I think that particular statement is really true on a spiritual level, that on a spiritual level, we are all equal, and we have equal access to divine law. And that is, I think, the only place, really, that you can find that consistently. Because when you start to look at things on a physical level, like we had saying, it's very easy to disprove equality. Anytime you put a physical task to something, it is not going to prove out that we all do exactly the same thing. And in a lot of respects, I think that's good. But you really want to find that common ground for all of us, which is really where I think the role of spirit really is. And on a spirit level, everyone, we're all one. There's only one spirit. There's only one mind in that respect.
And that's where we get the phrase namaste from, right?
Yeah. The phrase namaste means that we bow to the divinity within each of us. We're all equally divine. But at the same time, we recognize that we may not all be equally sensitive or aware of our divinity. But when you have that starting point of one mind, each of us is an expression of that one mind in love, then it kind of opens you up to a little bit more of a compassionate relationship with everybody around you. to when you just see yourself as a separate entity and you're accustomed to being at war with everything.
Well, I think this is a good place to pause to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll return with you shortly. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the new moon that's coming up. So we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website www.ipdtransform.com for more information. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, you were saying before we started the show today that we have a new moon that's coming up on Tuesday the 16th at 9:18 at night, Eastern Standard Time. Can you give us some insights about the new moon? What do we have to look forward to?
Well, the new moon, like we always say, is a new beginning. And one of the things that I find very significant about this new moon is that 6 of the positions, the 2 luminaries and 4 planets, are in Capricorn. And what I think is very significant about Capricorn is that it has an awful lot to do with what we call dharma, duty, or collective purpose. And that's very pertinent to the subject that we're talking about here today, because when you're moving from what we would call civil rights to divine law, then the rules start to change a little, because what you're basically doing is you're moving from needs to wants to purpose. That we all have a collective purpose. We all have an obligation or a responsibility to give back to the universe, because it gives us life, but it does expect something from us. And generically, our main purpose for existence is really to glorify the divine creative intelligence of the universe, to glorify this divine law that we're talking about. And in order for us to achieve this, there's this process that's at work where we have to move from a personal sense of I, which is what we would call ego, that would be self-absorbed, to move into a position of impersonal spiritual selfhood, which would be more of a divine egoism, we're not absorbed in our personal self, but we are absorbed in divine law, or self with a capital S. And so that's a big part of trying to experience this concept of equality on the highest level.
You had mentioned the phrase divine egoism. That might be a phrase that might be new for some of our listeners. Can you give us a definition of that? What does it mean?
Well, it means that your sense of self is totally absorbed in your identity with the divine, with your concept of a divinity. You don't really refer to yourself on a personal level, but you see that you're an intricate part of this greater whole.
So does that mean that we negate the I, meaning of ourself with a capital I, and and we should be referring to ourselves more on a spiritual level?
Right. That's the whole thing of being what in yoga they call it being selfless. This whole thing of selfless service, that you really don't have needs or wants on this level, that you are really more motivated by your sense of purpose, your collective purpose.
And then that brings me to something else too. So you talk about our collective purpose, and would this be a good time for us with the new moon for us to keep us on the path to our collective purpose, or at least to maybe find out and decipher what that might be?
Well, any new moon is a new beginning. So to answer your question, of course, that if you don't have a sense of connectedness to this sustaining infinite, then I would recommend that you would work towards getting it. And what we call in Kriya Yoga, your primary relationship with your divinity. And your whole sense of who you are is totally established in the availability of your essential need, your number one need, the life force. And the benefit that comes with that is the expansion of your sense of self, your identity, so that you no longer just see yourself as a separate entity, but again, you see yourself as an intricate part of something bigger. But it all begins with knowing this concept of the divine.
So it's almost like we had to see ourselves, like there's two parts of ourselves. There's the self that we are in this dimension of our reality, then there's this other greater part of ourselves that's of a divine nature, and we have to try to find a way to merge these two together?
Well, actually, we can't merge them together. It is our renouncing the material aspect, the sensual side of the whole thing, and our aligning ourselves with the spiritual side produces the progressive cycle. And in fact, all things are made better only by divine influence.
And so this is something we've been talking about, I think, in many shows, this divine influence. This is something that's readily available to all of us. And we just have to, I think, maybe understand how it is that we tap into that. So how does one go about to try to get this divine influence into their lives?
Well, that's where I like the Kriya Yoga that we teach, that it kind of gives you a game plan for doing this. It gives you a path of action, a path of knowledge, and a path of devotion. And your path of action are all the things that you need to do in order to be able to access this shift. What we're basically trying to do is we're trying to move from material beliefs to spiritual beliefs. From material human thinking to spiritual understanding. We're trying to move from a sense of error or sin to a sense of truth and wholeness.
Well, we might have some listeners out there that may not understand what the spiritual understanding you might mean and how that relates to truth. I mean, some people might say that truth could mean many different things to many different people. So how does spiritual understanding equate in Kriya Yoga?
Yeah, well, first of all, what I would like to say is that, you know, these terms, they're not subject to opinion, that things like God and truth and principle and spirit, they're very specific. There's only one truth. There's only one God. There's only one love. There's only one life. And everything else was what they called a sin. It missed the mark. And so I love that expression in the Bible. Know the truth and it will make you free. Again, it comes down to, well, what do I mean by truth? Like you said, well, that's true for you, kind of a thing. But it's not. that these are laws, these are principles, and they're backed by creation itself. And it's just like the laws of mathematics, that there are certain rules, there are certain laws that you apply, and then all of a sudden you can start to use these laws and principles. Well, spirituality is the same thing. There are spiritual laws at work. And one of the major rules of spiritual law is truth. And truth is all powerful, it's all knowing, and it's all present. And it is, again, it is backed by creation itself. And when you can start to know it and utilize it and apply it, then of course you understand it. And that's the biggest thing, is when what it is that you're doing is demonstrable. One of the major indicators that you are spiritual is perfect health and perfect happiness. That if you are happy and healthy, then you can pretty much rest assured that your concept of spirituality is in alignment with divine law. If you are in a condition or an abnormal condition, or there is some sort of compromise that's going on, then you might want to try and realign yourself. Go through your path of action, your path of knowledge, your path of devotion, and look and see. There might be just some subtle adjustment that you may want to make that will give you the return that you're trying to get.
So it's not necessarily just a physical condition that you're talking about. It could be any kind of a situation. If we're not feeling happy, you know, other emotions other than that, other than divine emotions. So you're saying that we should go back to the drawing board, so to speak, and then make sure that we're doing everything that we can on our road on the spiritual path, and kind of find out what's missing?
That might be a good suggestion right there, that how you would troubleshoot anything. If you were trying to make a Word document and you were having trouble inserting an image or aligning the text with the way that you wanted to wrap around the image and you didn't know how to do that, what would you do?
So I would Google it. And I would get that information, and then I would try to apply that information to my Word document.
Yeah, so same thing, I think, with as we approach our lives. But the biggest thing is a lot of us don't even know what it should look like. What does it mean to be spiritual? Because there's just so much celebrity pseudo-spiritualism out there that the paradigm is, the bar is so low, and we don't really know. Introducing the whole concept of healing into the equation, I think, really ups the ante. And it gives you a way of determining whether what you're doing is in bedrock, and if it is principle-centered, and if it is demonstrable, then you know. But if it isn't, then you know the other way. And a big part of developing this spiritual approach is that it clears up all the error.
I think there's a lot of people out there that would like to be able to find this spiritual understanding. And I know we joke about Google earlier, and it's not as easy as just going on Google and asking them how to do that. I mean, there is a, like you said earlier, there is a process and a procedure to be able to make this connection with your divinity.
Well, one possibility is that if you do Google it, we do have a web presence, and we may come up.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I'm going to give that website to you all right now anyway. So it's about that time we start closing down our show for today. But please do follow us, Swami, on Pinterest and Twitter and Facebook, of course, and visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com. Once you're there, you can make comments about this show or post other comments about anything that's on the website. But we do enjoy hearing from you, so keep those comments and curiosities coming. Be sure to tune in next week. We're going to discuss a sense withdrawal, and also be sure to listen to our weekly Facebook Live videos that we air those on Wednesday nights at 5 o'clock. So, Swami, do you have anything else that you'd like to inform our listeners about today?
Well, I would like to wish them all good luck with their new beginning tomorrow with the new moon and finding their collective purpose and how they will glorify their relationship with the divine creative principle of the universe. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda. We'll be signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.